Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will discuss how to have a total memory makeover by uncovering your past and taking charge of your future. We will talk with actress, health enthusiast, and New York Times bestselling author, Mary Lou Henner. Mary Lou Henner is one of only 12 documented cases of highly superior autobiographical memory in the world. Mary Lou will give practical advice on how you can improve your memory. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Here's a study that says that chia seeds may exert cardioprotective effects. A number of previous studies have suggested that increased long-term consumption of foods rich in alpha-linolenic acid, or ALA, and eicosapentaenoic acid, EPA, may counter the inflammation response, thereby exerting a cardioprotective effect. Fuxia Jin from Appalachian State University and colleagues enrolled 10 menopausal women in a 7-week long study. Subjects consumed 25 grams per day of milled chia seeds. The team observed that blood levels of alpha-linolenic acid, or ALA, rose by 138%, and eicosapentaenoic acid, EPA, rose by 30%. And this study appeared in Plant Foods for Human Nutrition. Well, sit less and live longer. Recently, a number of studies have suggested that sitting might be hazardous to your health by promoting type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular diseases, conditions correlated to sedentary behaviors. Peter Katzmarzik from Louisiana State University and colleagues compared a life table analysis to measure relative risk of all causes of mortality in association with sitting and television viewing, derived from a meta-analysis of studies looking at the relationship from the National Health and Nutrition Examination survey data involving 166,738 subjects. The researchers found that limiting time watching television to less than 2 hours a day added 1.38 years of life, and cutting total sitting time to less than 3 hours a day increased life expectancy by 2 full years. They urge that reducing sedentary behaviors such as sitting and television viewing may have a potential to increase life expectancy in the United States. This is an article from the British Medical Journal. Well, protein from plant sources may be preferred in chronic kidney disease, according to the Journal of Renal Nutrition. Compared to proteins from animal sources, plant-based proteins offer lower bioavailability of phosphate and lower non-volatile acid load, according to researchers who studied nearly 3,000 chronic kidney disease patients in the Chronic Renal Insufficiency Cohort Study. We'll be back right after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is, can your diet help keep your skin looking younger? Well, skin is the largest organ in the body, so it's certainly worth taking care of, and not having an adequate diet contributes to your skin's appearance in multiple ways. If we look at the skin's ability to protect itself from ultraviolet light, there are key nutrients involved in that, and it's important that you make sure that you get plenty of vitamin A and vitamin C, and also eat foods like pomegranates and blueberries, because these foods and nutrients have natural factors that protects your skin from the damaging effects caused by ultraviolet light.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
Our special guest today on Health and Longevity is actress, health enthusiast, and New York Times bestselling author Mary Lou Henner. Mary Lou Henner is one of only 12 documented cases of highly superior autobiographical memory in the world. Mary Lou has written books on health, nutrition, and wellness, including Mary Lou Henner's Total Health Makeover, The 30-Day Total Health Makeover, Healthy Life Kitchen, and Wear Your Life Well. She is a healthy living coach and 5-time Golden Globe nominee, beloved for her roles on Taxi and Evening Shade. Mary Lou's newest book is what we're going to be talking about today. It's called The Total Memory Makeover, Uncover Your Past, Take Charge of Your Future. Mary Lou Henner, thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much. I had a good time in Santa Barbara this weekend. That was fun.
Yes, I want to mention our memories don't have to go back too far. We were just with each other this past weekend in Santa Barbara, California at the Global eBook Awards, and that was quite a fun time, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was a great weekend. A little warm, but warm for Santa Barbara anyway. But I was going to say, I hope you remember, it was only 2 days ago.
Yes, I know. I didn't have to think too long far away. But so we have good memory on that one.
Definitely.
Now, you have what is called Highly Superior Autobiographical Memory, also called HSAM. What is that?
Well, most people remember 8 to 11 events within any given year. Some people remember more, you know, of course, 20, 25, 50. People with HSAM remember virtually every day of their lives and can recall details from early childhood, you know, teenage years. You give us a date, we'll tell you what day of the week it was and what we were doing on that day. And so far, there are 12 of us documented, although they are now testing others. I've heard the count is up to about 33, but most of those have not gone through the final testing and brain measurements. They've taken over 400 measurements of our brains, and the 12 of us over-index in 9 areas, over-index 7 to 10 times the size of most people's. You know, certain areas of our brain are 7 to 10 times larger than most people's. Most people's brains. So it's, you know, it's what's so funny is I've had a great memory my whole life, and even as a little girl, people would call me the memory kid, and I was always surprised when people couldn't remember things, but then I realized I just had an unusual memory.
Yes.
But I had no idea it was this unusual until a few years ago when the whole 60 Minutes thing came about.
Yes.
And it was so strange for me because, you know, I always say to people, you know, people will say, "Well, what was it like for you to have this memory?" And I always say, "Well, what is it like for you to have blue eyes?" You know, it's something you just grow up with. You don't
Yes.
really think that much about it. So, so anyway, I've been teaching classes in memory for a long time at MaryLou.com and doing seminars all over the country in memory and other health related issues. And it's something that's always fascinated me because to me, it's one of the most powerful tools that we have. You know, it's our ability to layer the information of our lives and bring the information forward to help us inform a better future. So, you know, better present and future. So it's a very interesting subject, and I'm so excited that it was discovered within my lifetime that this was something unusual, and now I can be measured for it, and perhaps the research that they're doing on the brains of the people with HSAM, it will help people who have dementia and Alzheimer's, which is why we're doing it in
Yes.
a lot of ways.
Well, now let me get this clear. Now, do you actually literally remember everything? I mean, every date and time and
pretty almost? Much. I mean, yeah. I mean, I've been tested extensively, thousands and thousands and thousands of questions, and I haven't gotten any wrong. So, and they cross-connected and tested against things that they know about me or current events or diaries or pictures or whatever. Although it's funny, people find pictures of me on the internet, and I'll say, well, what were you doing on this day? And I'll say, well, I was doing this, this, and this. And I'll say, no, you went to the premiere of blah, blah, blah. And I say, no, that happened the week before, but they just put the picture on the internet on that day.
Wow.
So, I don't know when they put the... You know, for example, I'll remember when we shot a Taxi episode more than I'll remember when it was on the air, because I usually don't watch the things once they're on the air. It's more the experience of doing them.
I see.
That I remember. So everything gets recorded all the time.
So sometimes people give you a date and you'll remember exactly what happened on that date.
Yeah, all the time people do that. But, you know, my book is not so much about my memory, although I do tell stories about it.
Right.
This is about having other people unleash the power of their memories.
Right.
You know, really tap into their autobiographical memories and to teach them some of the things that I just do naturally and have done naturally since I was a little girl at night. You know, a little girl. At 6 years old, I would lie in bed at night and say, okay, what did I do today? What did I do a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? What did I do exactly this day in kindergarten? What did I do exactly this day? You know, and I could literally go back in time in my mind and recall those specific days. You know, go through whole family vacations with my brothers and sisters. And, you know, to this day I can do that. And it's not so much the practice of it. It's just something that I did naturally. You know, I wasn't memorizing my life. I was just really reliving and recording it, and then, you know, now when people give me a date, I go back there, and I'm always back in first person looking out through my eyes. My memories are never in third person.
I see.
Most people remember in third person, and I think a lot of that has to do with they're used to seeing themselves in photographs or videos or things like that. But even when I see a photograph or a video of myself, I'm back in my body looking out, having that picture taken or that video taken.
So now when you're teaching classes on memory, you're not teaching the typical memory class, and your book's not the typical memory book. I remember years ago, I took a memory course from Arthur Bornstein, and he had the Arthur Bornstein School of Memory. And it's funny because I just saw him recently, and he remembered me, and that was like over 25 years ago I took that class.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's more memory by association, making up different little things to remember.
Mnemonic devices, yes. Well, I believe in using your life to use, you know, your life is a memory palace.
Right.
Your life, you don't have to make, for me anyway,
yes.
You don't have to make extreme images or anything like that, you know. In fact, that to me just feels confusing.
Okay.
Because it didn't happen. I'm
right.
Always using things that actually happened. And so, you know, it's really about using your past to not only help you remember other things about your past or related to things in your present so that you're recording it that way, but it's also to help you notice the red flags of the future. You know, I do a lot of memory work with people who seem to be stuck in a rut,
mm-hmm.
and they're choosing the same people over and over again, or finding themselves feeling like a victim at work, or not establishing good health habits, or, you know, succumbing to things like drugs and alcohol and, you know, things like that. And I think a lot of it is because their memory work has been so faulty in a way that they're not able to really remember how they felt, why this was a bad idea, what did that person do. You know, one of the things I say in my book is that if you could remember the red flags of your first date with some of those past relationships that didn't work out, would the new person you're seeing, you remember those things, would you be able to notice the warning signs in this current relationship? You know,
right,
it's constantly cross-connecting the information of your life, and each one of us has a story. And, you know, people always say, well, what about the bad stuff? Oh, what about the bad
yes.
stuff? I don't want to remember the bad stuff. Well, first of all, memory is tied to adrenaline. So those highs and lows, you're probably going to remember it anyway. Why not cushion it with some of those sweeter little Our Town moments that we all have in us?
Mm-hmm.
And besides which, if you deny your past or you block out the bad stuff, then it becomes an emotional boogeyman, and you tend to give it a lot more power than it deserves. You know, when you stop seeing your life in this black and white kind of incident, you see the whole rainbow of things, it makes it a lot easier to deal with. You know, I'll give you an example. One of the examples I give in my book is I was doing sense memory work with a class, got this big weekend seminar, on memory. And I said, okay, everybody bring in some turning point object from your life. Just bring in something that reminds you of some turning point. You know, the road could have gone this way or that way. So this woman brought in a perfume bottle, and she said, this is from a breakup years ago, 4 years ago, and I had to dig in my closet for this one because I hid it after this breakup. It was so painful to me, I could not only not wear the perfume, I couldn't even look at the perfume bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I started putting on weight because of this breakup. I started this, I'm still angry at him, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we did memory work based on that perfume bottle and just really kind of, she was remembering all these things and stuff like that. Well, she felt strong enough and more on top of the memory enough to be able to call him, and they met for lunch, and she got real closure on it and started to see that it wasn't such a black and white situation, that she had some responsibilities, he had some responsibilities. They both talked it through. Well, after that, she was able to get a better job. She lost weight. She moved on in her life. You know, she was able to get past all of that because she was willing to look at those memories. And bringing in a sense memory object was a very powerful, you know, experience and experiment for her. You know, so I just feel like there are a lot of times, you know, people say, oh, I don't want to look at this. I don't want to look at that. Well, you know, that's like saying, I want to read this book, but because something bad happens to the protagonist in chapter 10, I'm going to avoid chapter 10.
Right.
Even though it informs the rest of the story, you know.
Right.
So everything bad that happens to you, everything great that happens to you, informs your story. So
mm-hmm.
why not explore it and understand it for all it's worth?
And we can learn from those past experiences.
Oh, of course.
Now,
yeah,
why don't you tell about that quote, you know, Albert Einstein, and how you refer to that?
Yes. I start my book with the Albert Einstein quote, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And I always say, that's not insanity, it's bad memory.
That's right. In many cases, that's true. We don't learn from those past historical things and looking back from
sure.
those.
Plus, you know, it's not all Sturm und Drang. It's not all like, oh, heavy memories. Oh, I have to go look at this bad breakup. I have to look at this bad job. I have to look at this painful death. You know, mm-hmm. this bullying experience. It's not just all that. It's also some of the great stuff that people go, oh, my gosh, I forgot that I had this wonderful thing. Oh, I have to call that friend. Or, wow, we shared that experience, and I felt so powerful then. Wow, I've got to get back to that space or you know, feel that way and, but you know, do this year's version of that, whatever that is.
Right.
So it's really important for us to be able to look at our entire lives as this enormous wealth of information about who we are and what we've been through and what kind of life we want to create for ourselves from here on in.
That's right. Now, we talk about health and longevity, and a lot of people think, well, it's inevitable. As you get older, you're going to lose your memory and so forth. But you have some practical steps and ideas on how we can train ourselves to improve our memory. Can you share some of those with us?
Well, first of all, I think every night when you're brushing your teeth, you should spend those 2 minutes or 10 seconds or however long you brush your teeth for. I think you should scroll through your day. You know, just scroll through, what did I do today? What did it mean? You know, what would I like to remember? And just that little exercise is going to help you record it, let it sear into your brain a little more, you know, a little more deeply. I mean, it's going to be just a little more profound in your brain if you say, wow, I definitely want to remember that good experience, or whoa, I don't want to go through that again. How do I avoid that little pitfall, you know, that little minefield? Another thing is that start thinking of your life in terms of APR. My father always used to say that there are three parts to every event: anticipation, participation, and recollection.
Ah.
And the greatest of these is recollection.
Hmm.
So if you think every day, okay, what am I anticipating? You know, what am I participating in? What am I recollecting? And you start seeing these three cycles, it becomes more and more automatic for you. And these events become grounded into a time. You know, it becomes part of a time.
Yes.
On your life timeline. And another thing is that play to your strengths. I realized in my memory classes that everyone has a primary track on which they embed their memories. Everyone has something that they remember especially well. And it could be anything from food to travel to sports. That's huge for guys. Guys will forget their anniversary, but they'll remember a game they saw 30 years ago and who won and
true.
What they were drinking, you know. What they were wearing, what jersey they were wearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sports is big. School, relationships, jobs, clothing, hairdos, you know, anything.
Right.
School, everybody's got different tracks that are really important. I mean, I've heard bees. I mean, I'm beast. I've heard bats. Even someone had a bat track. Also, everyone has a dominant sense, some dominant sense by which they record, retain, and then retrieve their memories. You know, you might be a real smell person, somebody who smells something and you're instantly transported back, or you hear a song, you know, you're an auditory person or you're a visual person. You know, play to those strengths and spend a little time each day recording with your dominant sense. You know, take a sound check, like close your eyes every once in a while. What am I really hearing right now? What is that person saying? What am I really saying?
Hmm.
What sound is going into my ear? Or the smells, you know, record with your smells, or take a mental snapshot of where you are, what you're doing. To me, memory work is so powerful that it's really the strongest line of defense against meaninglessness that we have. You know, if every night you're going to sleep, shutting off the light, you wake up, you live your life, you go to sleep, you know, you shut off the light, go to sleep, wake up, live your life, turn off the light, go to sleep, and nothing is carried forward, well, then what does it all mean? You know, so to me, the recording of it all in some way is really the strongest line of defense against meaninglessness that we have.
Yes. Mary Lou, let's talk about memory and health. We talk about health on this program all the time, and I know you're very interested in good nutrition and health, and one of the things you point out is to learn to love the food that loves you. Can you elaborate on that?
Oh, well, I always say that, you know, good health is not about measuring, weighing, counting the carbs, the fats, the grams, the points, the calories of the same old crappy food.
Right.
No matter how you cut up the junk or measure it or weigh it or account for it, it's still junk.
It's true.
You know, your body's like this human test tube, and you're going to put the wrong chemical combinations of food in it. The whole thing is, you know, going to slow down. It's not going to digest properly. It's going to sit in your body. It's going to do whatever it does. It's not going to give you the nutrients. You know, we are definitely stuffing our faces but starving our bodies.
Right.
We are overeating, and our kids are overeating, but their little bodies are saying, is there not a nutrient in there? Give me more, 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 more.
Right.
I mean, we are literally stuffing our faces but starving our bodies because the quality of our food is so poor. You know, you improve the quality of your food, the quantity takes care of itself. Your body says, okay, I'm sated. This is good. This is fine. I've got my nutrients. You know, I feel really good. But we're eating the quality of our food. It's so junky, and it's so devoid of any kind of nutritional, you know, it's not nutrient dense. It's got nothing in it. So it's like gut fill at this point. So I'm always saying that, you know, if you jump on the bandwagon in terms of a more plant-based diet and you start eating the way we are designed as a human animal in terms of our digestive tract, in terms of the enzymes, the proteins, the hormones, you know, just everything that we need to break down our food and the way we assimilate it, and you respect how we are designed as a human being, as the animal, you know, then if you honor that, it's amazing how much your body will pay you back.
And more research is showing that we need to eat more of these fruits and vegetables because they contain not only nutrients but phytochemicals and other compounds that really help our brain cells and help us keep mentally functioning well at high levels.
Oh, absolutely. You know, what's good for your body is good for your brain. You can't isolate the two. It's not like, well, what are the specific, you know, it's like great food. It's like a plant-based, organic whenever possible because there's so much crap in our soils these days. You know, I think it's so important for us to have a good quality food. You know, and what we're doing to our kids is horrible. I wrote a book called Healthy Kids in 2001. It came out. And, you know, my publisher at the time, they said, oh, well, this is not going to be part of your regular contract. And I said, I'll just do this book for free because I have to get the information out. Well, that title was even available to me in 2001 is crazy, Healthy Kids. There had been no book called Healthy Kids before that. And everything I was talking about in that book is in the news today. You know, the way our children are eating. It's so unfair for us to take these little bodies, 40 to 80 pounds in school usually, and pump them with all the chemicals and all the hormones and all the steroids and all the dyes and the fake sugars and the fake this and the, you know, food that's takes over a paragraph to describe it. And then we expect them to sit still in school, and when they can't, we say, oh, they have ADD and ADHD. And then we pump them up with other chemistry. You know, we're being so unfair to our children, and we're getting further and further away from kids being able to move and think. We don't hydrate them enough. And what they hydrate with is either, you know, sugar and carbonation.
True.
Or it's milk, which is ridiculous as well because, you know, they're not baby calves. You know, it's ridiculous that all dairy is supposed to do is turn a 50-pound calf into a 300-pound cow in 6 months. So if those are your aspirations, knock yourself out, you know. But if they're not, it's ridiculous. It's you know, we should go be nursing from an orangutan. You know, I always say you would never make cheese from the breast milk of your next-door neighbor, but you are sucking from the udder of a cow you don't even know.
That's right.
You know, a human being has 27 feet of intestines and one little stomach, and a baby calf has 9 feet of intestines and 4 stomachs, and they break down that big, coarse, bovine, you know, mother's milk, which is cow's milk. They're able to break that down, but we aren't, and our children really aren't. So we have more broken bones, we have stuffy noses, we have kids with, you know, with clogged lungs, we have, you know, all these kinds of bedwetting, all kinds of things. And it's so unfair.
So Mary Lou, I want to thank you for being with us today. Boy, the time has really flown. But I want to mention your book, The Total Memory Makeover, Uncover Your Past, Take Charge of Your Future. And you have such a wealth of information that people can get on your website. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. I've been teaching classes online since 2000 at MaryLou.com. This is our 13th year. I have 30 teachers who teach my program with me. We have 2 or 3 classes a month. I'm in that chat room all the time. I'm teaching classes all the time. So please come and check us out, MARILU.com. It's a wealth of information. And, you know, before people would say, oh, you've got so much information, blah, blah, blah. And I'd say, now they realize it's just because I remember everything.
Yes.
So that's why I have a lot to say and have a lot to, you know, help people with as much as possible.
And I want to encourage everyone to look for the book in the bookstores. You can get it online, too. And then we also are making it available through our website, too, healthandlongevityradio.com. So thank you so much, Mary Lou. Keep up the great work.
Okay. Take care.
God bless.
Bye.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for this week's program. Please invite your friends to join us each week here on Health and Longevity. Until next time, we wish you the best of health.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.